Our text for this morning is Hebrews chapter 11, verses 13 through 16. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Dear Heavenly Father, these words are yours, and so we know that they are the truth. We ask that you'd increase our faith through them. Amen. Where is home for you? As you think about that concept, I'm sure that you have a picture in your mind, whether that be a specific house or maybe it's a general area, a city, might be in an apartment of some kind. But what makes that specific spot your home? Is it just duration? Is it how long you've lived there? Is it the fact that your family is there? I think that we associate the idea of home with a sense of stability, of safety, of belonging. So wherever my home is where I feel like I fit in. It's where I feel like I belong. I need to be there. I fit there. This morning our text reminds us of our true home. Now the writer to the Hebrews here is explaining to us by pointing us into the past, pointing us into biblical history, what life looks like when it's lived in faith. And a key aspect of living by faith is living with this feeling like you are not quite home. As God's people, when we are on this earth, wherever we are, in whatever situation we are in, if we live by faith, we are going to live our lives feeling like we are a stranger or a pilgrim. No matter where we live, no matter how long we've lived there, we're going to feel like we're a little bit unsettled. Like we don't quite belong, we don't quite fit in. No matter how hard we try, no matter how hard we seek to put down roots, they're not going to stick while we're here on this earth. Now, this chapter in Hebrews 11 is sometimes called the Hall of Faith. And it points us to great heroes of the faith from ages past. It points us to guys like Enoch and Noah and Abraham. And it holds them up for us as an example. And it says this is what they did that showcased their faith, that displayed the great faith that these people had. Points us to Abraham, right? When he was so old, he had this promise that he would have children. Even though he was so old, that Hebrews says that he was as good as dead. Even though his wife was barren, and Abraham believed this promise. He had faith in this promise and word of God, and God kept that promise. He gave Abraham, as you know, a son. Abraham's family line continued, and it's that family line that our text is talking about. So one by one, generation after generation, following Abraham, these people died in faith, not having received the promise. So they didn't get to possess the land that was promised to them, the promised land. They didn't get to see the Savior, the promised Messiah that God said would come from the line of Abraham. But having seen them from far off, were assured of them. So they saw them in the distance and they embraced these promises as if they had been done already. And in doing this, they were confessing that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Hebrews reminds us that they could have gone back. Abraham came from a place. He had a home and God called him to leave it. They could have returned to where Abraham came from, but they didn't, because they knew that God's promise was greater than any earthly location, any earthly promised land. They knew by faith what was in store for them was a better home, a heavenly home. Now, Hebrews 11 is not just about how awesome and faithful these guys were. The emphasis, and especially in our text for this morning, is on the impact that faith has on you, on how faith changes us on a fundamental level. When God created faith within you, he also created within you a new creation, and that new creation is constantly evaluating two different things, the things of this world and the things of God. Right? So the new creation evaluates what this world has to offer you. And as college students, that's a lot, right? You look at your future and what lays ahead. You're considering your future income, your future career, your family, your spouse, what city you're going to live in. And then faith looks at the promises of God and what those offer. right? Comparing the things of this world with the things of God, and faith desires one over the other. That's what our text says. They desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Faith sees the promise of heaven and says, that is where I belong. That is where I know that I have the greatest, I will experience the ultimate sense of stability and safety and belonging in the presence of my God in the city that he has prepared for me. That's my home. I just haven't been there yet. And that desire is what I want us to wrestle with a bit here in our text. That's what I want you to meditate on and think about. Faith desires heaven. Faith sees heaven as our home. Now, when I asked that question at the beginning of the sermon, it wasn't a trick question, right? When I ask you where you think home is, I don't want you I wasn't setting you up to think, you know, maybe my home's in Iowa, and then to say, shame on you for not saying heaven, right? That's not the point. As I was growing up as a kid, I'm thinking, man, it would be great if God returned, right? I'm excited for Judgment Day. This is an exciting thing to think about. I want to be in heaven. This is going to be awesome. But I don't want him to come back today, right? I want to go to heaven, but I don't want it to be today. I'm not ready. There are still things that I want to experience. There's stuff that I want to do. There's things that I want to see. I want to be in heaven, but I don't want to go yet. And maybe that's your feeling too. And I have met several Christians that were absolutely ready, right? That were at the end of their life after a life well lived and were praying to go to heaven. And they routinely ask me, Pastor, is it wrong to pray to die? Right? Is it wrong to pray every day that the Lord takes me home to be with him? Look at our text. Of course, that's not wrong, right? That's faith, to desire to be in the presence of God. But it's also faith to want to live for him. Right? It's faith for you to want to use your gifts and abilities, the things that God has blessed you with, to impact the people in your life, to bring glory to God, to point others to the hope, the assurance, the home that you have through faith in Jesus. So ultimately, the warning here is thinking that we can have both, right? Thinking that we can have a home in both places, that we can have our hearts set on both the things of here and now and on the things above. The temptation is to treat faith like an insurance policy, to say, yeah, I'm going to hold my faith. I'm going to know and believe that Jesus is my Savior from sin. I'm going to know for a fact, for 100% sure, that what he did on the cross paid for my sin. That at the end of my life, when I die, I will be accepted into heaven because Jesus died for me. I am forgiven because of what he has done. I'm going to hold this faith, and I'm going to act as if it doesn't matter at all. I'm going to conform to the ways of this world. I'm going to give in to temptations. I'm going to give in to whatever my heart desires. I'm going to look for satisfaction in the pleasures of this world, to the point where people look at me, there will be zero evidence that I am a believer at all. But at the end of my life, after I've enjoyed what this world has to offer, after I've carved out for myself a home here and now, then that insurance policy is going to pay off, right? Then that faith is going to enable me to enjoy heaven as my home as well. Our text for this morning is reminding us to set our hearts on things above, not on earthly things. I think the most interesting verse in this entire chapter of Hebrews 11 is verse 16. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And I have never really thought about God being ashamed before, or the opposite of that, not being ashamed to do this, to be called the God of these heroes of the faith. As we think about that, what would it mean to you to have God not be ashamed to be called your God? What does that mean? It's easier to flip it over, to make it not negative, right? God is ashamed to be called your God. That makes sense, right? We understand what that means, that this is a big deal. So then why is God not ashamed to be called the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Is it because of something within them? Is it because of some innate quality that they had? Is it because these are the most faithful people? There's two reasons given in our text, and neither one of them have anything to do with these men. So verse 16 starts out with therefore. Whenever you see that in scripture, that's like a huge flag that says, hey, pay attention to this. This is a big deal. It says therefore, meaning because. Look at back at what was just said, and that is why what is coming next is true. So because they desired a better heavenly homeland. That's why God is not ashamed to be called their God, because he has created a city for them. That is why God is not ashamed to be called their God. So he's prepared heaven for them and they desire it. That's why he is not ashamed to be called their God. Now take this idea and make it personal. What do you have to do to make sure that God is not ashamed to be called your God? Desire him. Right? Desire the home, the city that he has prepared for you. Desire heaven over earth, the promise of God over the possibilities of the here and now. And hopefully you hear that and a little alarm bell goes off in your head, because that sounds an awful lot like a work, right? That sounds awfully lot like we're doing something to earn God's favor. Like if we follow this one simple trick, then we will get to enter eternal paradise. Then God will be on our side. And we know that's not the case. It's by grace through faith alone. But here's the thing, that desire is faith, right? Desire is not some great work that you do. If you are extremely hungry and you sit down in front of the best meal you could ever possibly imagine, do you brag to your friend that you desire to eat the meal? Of course not. Right? You see a picture of one of the greatest sights in God's creation, the greatest view imaginable. Do you brag to your friends, I desire to see this with my own eyes? No. Right, that desire to eat that meal, to go to that place, is way more about that place or that food than it is about us. And so our desire for heaven is not about us. Our desire to be in the presence of God, that's not about me. That's about the greatness of my God. That's about the greatness of the city that he has prepared for me. Without the gift of faith, without seeing those promises far away and embracing them as if they were as good as done, we would want to make this world our home. Right, without faith, our desire is for what is tangible, what we can feel, what we can see, what we can experience. But God has done the work of putting that faith into your heart, and he has changed you. And that faith, that new creation inside of you, desires the things of God. That faith is rooted in the word and promise of your God, that through this faith, you are forgiven. That faith is rooted in the promise that through this faith you are united to Jesus in the perfection of his righteous death. You have died to sin along with your Savior, and that it's rooted in that promise, however far off it might be, that means that you are also united with him in his resurrection. Faith sees the greatness of these promises, the fact that he has prepared a place for you. It embraces those promises and it yearns for them. It desires them. We know where our true home is. The gift of faith has taught us. It's created a desire for it in our hearts. And on this side of heaven, that desire is not going to be perfect. Right? There are going to be times where we find that we are attached to the things of here and now, where our hearts are set on the things of here and now, where we are finding satisfaction and craving that pleasure, the enjoyment, the happiness of the things of this world. But as we continue along in faith, as we continue along in our walk of our growth of faith, that desire grows. As we grow in faith in God's word and sacrament, as we grow in our knowledge and understanding of what his word and promise declare, it's through these things that the Holy Spirit works within us to strengthen that faith, and along with it, that desire for the things of God, for heavenly things. The more we are in God's word, the more we understand what these promises mean. The more we have this picture painted for us of what that perfect life in heaven will be like. The ultimate joy and satisfaction that we will experience in the presence of God. That faith that the Holy Spirit gives to us says, yes, heaven is my home. Yes, I am a stranger and a pilgrim here because that's where I belong. And through faith, that is what God has promised to me. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of faith. Without it, we know that we would be lost. We would be doing everything in our power to make a home for ourselves here on this earth, to create a sense of belonging and security, a task that without you is hopeless. But through your word and promise, you've made known to us our true home, the city that you have prepared for us in heaven. Through your word, strengthen our faith and our desire for that home. Help us to throw off the things of this world that scream for our attention and our devotion, and to live as strangers and pilgrims here, wherever we might live. Keep our hearts set on things above, not on earthly things. Remind us always that it is not because of our faithfulness that we are saved, but because of yours. Your faithfulness to your promise to send a Savior. Your Son's faithfulness in going to the cross to pay our debt of sin and to open to us eternal life. Holy Spirit, sanctify us. Make us zealous for your word and promise, and grow within us our desire for you. Amen.